Welcome to the Honor It All podcast. I'm Honor Garrett, your host, and we are here to honor all that is good in the world. Each podcast, I interview top professionals around the globe who are making a difference, impacting lives, and creating positive change. Today, we have Carly Knapp, a certified holistic health coach with a master's degree in health communications and a BA in journalism. She attended the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, where she was trained on over 100 dietary theories by the world's top nutrition experts. Carly practices bio-individuality, meaning each person is unique and there is no one-size-fits-all formula for any health. But I think what makes Carly so amazing is her infectious energy and optimism. She blesses everyone she meets. Her clients not only love her and the results that she gets them, but they all want to be your best friend. And I know why. So I'm honored to have you here today as part of the Honor It All podcast. Welcome. How are you?
I am glorious. I'm so grateful to be here. Glad that we connected. So happy we connected.
Well, I'm so happy that we connected. And now everyone that I know is going to know you. But I will tell everybody that Carly and I met on Clubhouse. And I was just impressed by her knowledge and energy, but also her transparency that when she talked about her health journey. And I think we both really connected when we got offline and or onto Zoom because we're both moms. We both prioritize our family. We're passionate about health. I think we're both two people that are the half glass full. So today we have a full cup for everyone to bless our listeners because we're coming to you from overflow and a grateful heart. And so, Carly, can you tell our listeners a little bit about the journey that led you to holistic healing?
Of course. So when you talked about transparency, like that's just the way I feel like we have to live. The more we put all of our dirt out there, right, the more that everybody realizes that they were all coming from the same place and that we can really transform that dirt into jewels. So I went through my fair share of dirt. I had a long battle with autoimmune. So it was like one autoimmune diagnosis after the other. I won't go through the full story, but it was hypothyroidism, Hashimoto's, PCOS, and I even had a multiple sclerosis scare. And through this journey, and what's funny is actually before that, I already had, this was in my 30s. So I'm 37, but this is my early 30s. And before that, I'd already done nutrition training. I had my master's in health communication. So I was health-minded, right? Like I wasn't just eating like crap all the time and like not working out. But I started really looking at it deeper because I was like, well, I'm eating fairly healthy. So what's really going on here? I looked at it from a nutritional standpoint, from how I move my body, and then the mindset piece with the multiple sclerosis scare. That's the one I was like, man, this isn't just about food and fitness. Like something else is going on. What's really going on? And so I got trained to be a holistic health coach. And what holistic means is it's whole body wellness, right? So of course we know that we have food, how we nourish our body with nutrition and exercise, how we nourish our body with movement. But people always leave out that mindset piece. And it's like, it's a third of the puzzle. And that's what holistic is. It's all encompassing. We're looking at our relationships, the way that we think about our body, the way that we think about food, our subconscious programming. I'm huge into subconscious programming. You know, our subconscious rules 95% of what we do. And most of our subconscious is formed in the first 7 years of our lives. So there's these really, I go like this. This is not always my go-to move because it's like, it's in the back of your brain. Like you don't even realize this stuff. It's not a thought that you're having. It's an automated system that we do. So I do a lot with reprogramming the subconscious so that then having a healthy eating and moving our body becomes easier. You're not actually just having to like grit and bear it and use willpower and force and control and trying to control the what you eat and how you move. It just becomes like a really an automated process. So that's how I got into holistic health coaching. And I love continuing learning. I'm about to roll into another program because we're never done learning, right? Like there's always ways to level up. And that's why I like surrounding myself with like-minded people like you, Honor, because, you know, I can learn from you too. So,
well, so grateful. Absolutely. It's so ironic because the more we know, and we just keep learning and learning, the more we realize we don't know.
So, right. For
and sure. I just wish as a kid you know, I thought I was healthy because I'd never really had a weight problem, right? I grew up in a nice home. I got good meals, but the mindset was so, you know, it was, you need to be the thin cheerleader, have the perfect body. It was about, you know, eating a cracker so I could stay and fit in my uniform, not like what would be a healthy meal, right?
Yep.
And so just to those subconscious programs from when we were young, and sometimes we did it to ourselves. Sometimes it was just the environment we were in.
Totally.
Someone else. So, I mean, that is amazing. And I really love the fact too, guys, if you ever just want to brighten your day, look at Carly's Instagram or her reels or whatever. I love how you can show up and show how hard life can be, but bring humor to every situation. And you are really a girl half, you know, cup half full instead of half empty. So how do you keep that mindset?
You know, so I call myself kind of like a reformed party girl. Well, I mean, like semi-reformed, right? Like I still have a good time. but you know, a little bit of context. I mean, I did all the things. So you're right. Like I was a cheerleader too. And I was always trying to like be, you know, do everything perfectly and look perfect. Right. But I smoked a pack of cigarettes for 15 years a day. Like a pack a day for 15 years. I was a high functioning stoner. You know, I was going to my grad school classes, smoking weed at 8 o'clock in the morning. I was getting blackout drunk 3 times a week, you know, and still showing up for my classes with wristbands on my hand. I mean, I did all the things, right? So I speak of that candidly because a lot of times we look at these other wellness professionals and we're like, well, they have no idea. Like how I'm not going to be able to get there or improve, but like, no, I actually have done it from, I don't want to say the bottom up, but like, even though I was eating a kale salad, I was still getting blackout drunk. Now I still like to have my wine, like, let's not get wrong, but I learned how to do everything in balance and in a healthier way. And that came with changing my mindset. So I used to think, the people that, sorry, listeners, but the people that were like, oh, shitting rainbows, right? You know what I'm talking about? I always thought that they were full of crap. I was like, people aren't really that happy. Like they're just not. I was a little jaded, I think, a little just kind of like whatever. And
it thinking they're faking it. Maybe you're
totally
they're faking it. Right.
Totally. I just thought I was like, that's not real. Or how am I ever going to be one of those? Like I'm over here, I'm practicing yoga, I'm drinking smoothies. Like why not? And why am I not shitting rainbows? Right. Why are they're fake? And so it was really doing that, the subconscious programming that we talked about. I didn't realize it. I'm from South Mississippi. My parents are still there. And it's a very, I still adore it. I plan on retiring there, but it's a very be humble culture, right? Like do for others, be the hostess, like put others before yourselves. And although those are values that I still have in my life, I realized that I did believe subconsciously that my needs were at the back burner, that my wants were at the back burner, that I shouldn't speak my truth. I should speak so that other people are comfortable. And these are values I still have, you know, I still consider other people's viewpoints and their feelings, right? But I learned how to integrate my own wants, my own needs, my own values. And so in doing that and learning how to really marry those two, that's how I stay cup half full. Right? Because now I'm not coming from a place of lack because I'm doing for everyone else. You know, when you're doing for everyone else, you're kind of like at the second. So you're going to be a little more glass half full, a little more jaded, a little more salty. But when you can actually like speak your own truth and you realize that you're lifting others up in the process, that's where the magic happens, right? Like, I can't remember this quote exactly, but it's by shining our light, we give other people permission to do the same. And I realized that like when I was finally like stepping into my truth, it sounds so woo-woo sometimes, but I'm a little woo-woo. When I was actually just like being who I wanted to be and living how I wanted to live and putting my dirt out there, being authentic, then I was like letting other people do the same and encouraging other people and other clients and other people. That's like why I do the reels on social media. Cause it's like, you know, look, you can do this too. You can be healthy and still, you know, eat some fried potatoes and a glass of wine, and it's not so black or white. So I think that's a little bit of how I stay half full.
And you can have fun. I think I always get self-conscious that all of my other friends who aren't health conscious look at me and go, she must not have any fun. And honestly, I think the older I get, I have fun no matter what I do. It doesn't matter if I have a glass of wine or I'm going on a hike with my husband or whatever I'm doing. I just have fun because I enjoy life. And I think that's a step to actually loving ourselves.
Oh, this is a beautiful moment, but make a long story short, me and my husband, we ended up living out of a suitcase and traveling the world for about 3 years. And it was amazing. We had all of our stuff in storage and it just happened so organically and naturally. We both were working from our computers and we were in Europe for most of the time, like a couple days here, a couple weeks here, Southeast Asia. And I was like 100% vegan at that time. I was gluten-free, dairy-free because I was healing from my Hashimoto's, my hypothyroidism. And so I was posting all the time on social media how you can travel the world and eat all the bomb food and still have it be health-minded. And I was getting so much positive feedback. You know, people just thought I was living this dream. And then on the inside, I wasn't 100%. I was having horrible insomnia, horrible panic attacks. My business wasn't thriving, you know, and I realized for the first time that I was jealous of the way that I looked on social media, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah.
And I didn't feel it on the inside. So when you kind of talked about like the social media age, I realized that that was not a good barometer for real, like whole being, health and happiness, and that something else was missing for me. So that was one big transformational phase. And then after I had my son, so he is 20 months now. This is relatively new, right?
Wow,
so he was 2 months when the lockdowns hit. And when the lockdowns first hit, you know, we were staying inside, and because me and my husband both work from home. It wasn't a big change, right? But after a couple months of going down, I told you, I love wine and I hadn't, I'd been pregnant. And so after that, I was like enjoying my wine a lot more. And then I would get, after I was drinking, I would start snacking a lot more. I started gaining more weight. Mm-hmm. And I just realized for a second, and all of a sudden I probably was like, maybe about 10 pounds more than I am now. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like I could see myself going back in this cycle, right? Like I'm in this health coaching space because I've been there, done that, because I was just eating to feel good, right? I was just eating to feel good. And that's okay. I believe that food is happiness. Food is love. I don't believe that food is only for nourishment. I look at food as like an activity place. But when I found myself just drinking, being shitty to my husband, right? Like just being like sarcastic and like, maybe not even wasted. It was never a problem. That's what I said. There wasn't a rock bottom. I wasn't, falling over drunk, having domestic, it wasn't like that kind of thing. But I just realized there's something deeper that I need to heal from. There is something deeper. And so that's when I really like pushed to the spiritual component. I was just like, I was, like I said, from South Mississippi, grew up Christian. That's all I believed. I thought there was nothing else. And I really just started to think about like, how does it feel? What is my relationship with God, with Allah, with the universe? We all have different names for it, but how does that feel in me? And then that was another really pivotal place for my health, because that was the point where it didn't just come from food, fitness, mindset, but it came from the heart too.
Absolutely. Wow. That's powerful. And I would say finding that spiritual component can really transform everything. And in I grew up Christian too. So it's interesting because I'm so now into energy, and we've talked about that, and like, talking energy. Woo. And what I really want people to know is it's not one or the other. The creator of the universe, God, created energy. It is a blessing. It is a gift that maybe we're not even using or aware of the power that it can do, even more than physical things in our life. So
Totally. Oh, one thing I have to say on that, when people, when I started using meditation, Michael's talking, when I started using meditation, and you know, I started dicking around with meditation. Sorry, my language is slightly colorful.
Hey, you be probably, you.
Sorry, guys. Shit was one of my first words. So, you know, we can really only go from there. I started like trying to meditate probably like 8 years ago, really. So it's been a journey, been a big journey. But when I came into that spiritual place, that's when I realized like praying is talking to God and meditating is listening to God.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just, you're doing the same thing, but through a different lens. So they're not conflicting at all. And actually the more I really dove into like, I wish there was a better word for spiritual. Do you have one?
Yeah.
Some people it throws off, right?
It either sounds too woo-woo or it sounds too religious. Like there's not like, it's like, it's really, and this sounds even more kumbaya, but it's like love. It's just love.
It is. It really is. It really is. And like, it's almost like once you like get into it, then you realize the more I got into spirituality and the love mindset, the more a lot of the biblical stuff made sense to me, the more it resonated, the more I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's what they're talking about. So when we talk about that conflicting with religion, and then too, when we were traveling, like we were in Morocco. So we would go to the mosque, and you know, I mean, we really spent them in Europe. We spent all, you know, all of our time in freaking Catholic churches, right? Like it's Catholic churches all over the place. And so I really started, investigating other religions. And it was like, then I almost found more commonalities, right? Mm-hmm. The way that I could see it, I was like, this all makes sense. It's coming from a different storyteller, but it's a very similar story.
Yeah. And in a world that seems so divided, it's so interesting how really connected we all are.
For sure.
And for so sure. That, I'm so glad you brought that up, and seeing different, it's about love, right? It's about acceptance. It's about being curious, and it's really about respect too. Just,
yes,
you know, respecting that we're all different and that's okay. You know, and I think that's, you know, I think that's a big thing. Now, let me ask you something. Cause I like love to ask everybody this. What is your biggest lesson in life? Is there a lesson that, that's really resonated with you that's happened?
Yeah, for sure. I think the biggest thing is that this is going to sound trite, but I'll elaborate that health and wellness is evolving. It ebbs and flows. It is a journey, not a destination. You know, I used to always think, okay, well, let me do all of these things or have this kind of diet plan or this kind of, you know, reset, right? Or whatever for this many days. And then I'll be there. Then I'll be healthy or then I'll be in a routine. And I learned like it's going to transition all the time. And one, that's okay. And two, that's great. And so that's why when I'll talk about my programs a little bit later, but that's why I really focus on like bioindividuality and personalized wellness. Is because the reason that so many of us don't succeed is because we're trying to do this standard cookie cutter fitness routine or diet plan or mindset practice that doesn't really fit us and where the nooks and crannies of us at that moment. So it just doesn't really, it doesn't stay. So that's why like I really love like my one-on-one coaching is because I can actually be like, okay, so understanding the person and then trying to meet them where they're at, but elevate them. So I think once I learned that about myself too, that was a game changer because I realized like the reason these things aren't working or they don't feel right is because they're not like really meeting me where I'm at right now. And once I started putting into practice things that just made me a little bit better, right? That were still like improving my health, but were more attainable. Then I realized I was able to continuously level up because I was just taking big steps up instead of trying to jump up here and then fall and then jump and fall. That was a huge lesson for me.
I mean, we all want a quick fix and it's so trite to say it's about the journey, not the destination, but it truly is. because that's where the whole gratitude comes in. If we can be grateful in each moment, and like you were talking about bio individuality, the thing about that is not only is everyone different, you're even different 5 years from now. I cannot eat. I mean, I'm almost 55 years old. I cannot eat the same thing that I ate years ago. And I think that once we realize that, we're going to understand that no little diet system is quote unquote is going to work.
It doesn't. I tried, you know, Honor, I tried all the things in like my health and wellness journey, right? Like I think I've been paleo, I've been vegan, I've been gluten-free. I was like a Pilates princess. I was like, you know, doing like HIIT workouts. I was a yogi. Like I kept trying to do all of these different things that were promised to me to make me healthy and happy. But when I learned too, that like we go through phases and we learn how to ebb and flow. And like yoga was real, like I was hardcore in yoga for about 3 years and I still love it. I still do it like twice a week, but like now I can eat something else. Because there's something else. My body just needs something else right now. You know what I mean? So I think when we learn, and that's why, you know, I go back to like working with a coach, because it was me working with other coaches that I was able to realize, oh, okay, that it is okay for me to change up what I'm doing. And that actually does make sense because they could like mirror back to me, like what I was saying, because it's easier. Sometimes we can't even see it ourselves. We have like blinders on of this is the person that I am. And this is how I operate. And we only know ourselves as that one person and we don't realize that we change.
Right.
That we do change. And sometimes that mirror back, you know, if you have that best friend that's like, man, you've really changed in this area. You know, that you find other health and wellness practices that are going to better support you. And that's when we talk about the journey, that makes the journey more fun because like it is a journey, but we do want to have a comfortable seat for it. Right. So when you kind of like learn how to like put these systems and these practices in your life, you have a better seat for the ride.
Well, and that's why the inner work is so important because then none of the external things, the yoga, the eating right, whatever matter, it's all good. It doesn't matter which one you do. If everything's right with you, then all of those are just, you can enjoy and appreciate each one of them, not thinking that they're the answer because they're not.
Yeah. They're not. That's, I always say Wonderless, like my club on Clubhouse is Wonderless for Wellness. And my website has a lot of Wonderless for Wellness because it's that mindset of always being Wonderless is like this place of searching, right? Woo! And always looking for that thing that's going to like fix you. That thing that's going to, you know, when no one needs to be fixed, but looking for that one healing modality that's going to change you or resolve it. And it's different for everyone and at different points in your life. Absolutely. So I think that's what's so important in this health and wellness journey. And then the marketing doesn't really allow us to see that because it's, so I have my master's is in health communications, but it's in the marketing and public relations, the communication space. So I didn't really, that was what I really realized, that the way that the media messages are designed, they're not sitting there being like, ah, let's just trick them. But it is commerce and it is sales. And so when we just look at social media and regular media for what it means to be healthy, we're given these messages of programs, routines that work for other people, you know, but there's just not a one size fits all and your size changes.
Well, and that's why it's so important. The sooner all of us can realize, stop blaming somebody else. That program didn't work. This doesn't work. That doesn't work. The minute we can take 100% responsibility for our lives, we can't always control. I like to say this, we can't always control what happens, but we're ridiculously in charge of our lives.
I love that.
And responding the way we should respond. And so I wanted you to tell our listeners a little bit about your personalized program, your wellness program. What does it look like to work with you? Anything that you want to add?
Okay. So I do, and you know, I'm pretty blunt. So this is the way I call it. So I have like my non-committal program, the people that are like, we'll see. But it's like an individualized health plan. So in that one, it's kind of like your beginner steps. It's where I have clients, they fill out like a 4-page questionnaire to really understand like what their life currently looks like. And then I review this information and then I make recommendations in their nutrition, physical fitness, and mindset practices that are specific to where they're at. We do a 45-minute Zoom session. We go over in detail. I ask some more questions to get to know them a little bit more. And then I send them this individualized health plan. Here you go, silver platter. You know, it's all you know. So that's one of my programs. And then the other one is, I call it like the PG wellness. It's a personalized wellness program. And so that one is when we meet for 3 months every other week for 45 minutes on Zoom. And we kind of take the same individualized approach, but I give them goals that really start to layer on top of each other. Because what we have found is that when you're successful at achieving one goal, it further motivates you to do another goal. When you try to do all the things, when you try to stop eating carbs, work out 5 days a week, meditate for 30 minutes in the morning, you do it all for 2 weeks and then you stop. Because it's just not like they're not really creating sustainable habits. So I work with them to create sustainable habits in those three areas of food, fitness, and mindset. And we meet every other week on Zoom. And then the next one I have is my self-growth intensive. And that's for people that are like ready to make serious changes, that are tired of dicking around, that are ready to invest in themselves. And we meet every week. It's a 45 minute to 1 hour. I give them up to 1 hour meeting face-to-face every week, working on these goals, giving them itemized steps. And we have ongoing communication in between. I literally like hold their hand through it. And it is so beautiful. That is when I see like the most growth, because it's when you really, really are like, I have to be here. You know what I mean? Like you sign up for the program, you show up, and accountability is the biggest thing. You know, I'm like I said, I'm a health coach and I still work with other health and wellness professionals because it's accountability, right? Like I work with a financial advisor when it comes to my finances. That is not my area of expertise, right? Like I work with a dentist. Like you outsource now. That's the world that we live in. Yeah. So outsourcing accountability, I just think that is such a game changer. And it's so much freaking fun for me. I think most of my personalized wellness clients end up doing the self-growth intensive. I have noticed this trend of stair-stepping. So they'll start and we'll do like the non-committal and I'll give them all the information.
Yeah.
Right. And then they usually realize after a little bit. I mean, some people can't.
They'll dip their toe in and they're like, wait a minute, exactly. I can't do this by myself.
Exactly. No, and for a lot of people, it does work because as I talked about, I have an autoimmune background. So I've worked with a lot of clients that have thyroid disorders, and then I can really teach them natural ways to heal their thyroid. And this is information they wouldn't have gotten anywhere else. So some people, I can give them that information. They can maybe start putting this into practice and make a lot of huge changes. PCOS is another one I deal with too. A lot of huge changes in about a year's time, and then maybe come back when they're ready to like take it up a notch. But there is like dipping your toe in, and then there's like the personalized wellness program. We go into like to the waist up, right? You get like waist deep in the water and you start to feel good about it. And you notice some changes and you're like, okay, I can do this. I'm feeling good. And then the self-growth intensive is when you just dive in, baby.
Well, and I personally have gotten to the point now that I don't even want clients unless I know they're committed. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not committed, I could be the totally. Best coach in the world. You could be the best coach in the world. And it might not work because they don't really want to do it. And that totally. Makes them unhappy. It makes you frustrated because you know, and you care, and this is what you do. You're so passionate about. So I really do a survey to make sure, hey, are you ready for this? And people are scared that their life is going to completely change. I don't want to change everything about my life. And that's that overwhelm when you give them everything at once, but the way you do it, when you're like, no, this is gradual, you're changing. But you know, I've had people come to me and they haven't seen me for a while. And they're like, or even sometimes my husband, I'll say, you've changed. And I'm like, I hope so.
Thank God.
Right. Like, I hope I'm not the same person that I was, you know, a year ago or 5 years ago. I hope that I'm evolving. I'm expanding. I'm becoming more of the potentiality that I have, right?
I love you so much because it's the same mindset of like, life is this really awesome fucking experience that we get to be, I don't want to say be different people, but we get to have different experiences. We get to evolve and change and grow and groove, right? Like, it's so much more fun than just staying in the same little box the whole time.
Well, and it really struck me, resonated with me when you were talking about how you saw yourself on social media way back and you didn't feel, you were like, I'm jealous of that person. She's so happy. She's like, her life is perfect. And right? I saw this little quote that says, I hope your life is as good as you portray it on Facebook or whatever. But
totally.
I think that was the magic bullet that you pointed out, that the minute that you're, why would you fake something? Because you're going to be attracting and mirroring that same fakeness. You're not going to find really good people. But the minute you start being like, and they're not even bad people, they're just people that aren't really like you because you're being someone else. The minute you let your hair down, you talk about everything, you're transparent, you're putting it all out there, you're using the language that you use, whatever it is, you're going to attract people just like you. And it's going to make you so much happier, right? I think.
Well, because no one operates in a vacuum. We have more people that are like-minded and like us. And even if they're different, love us for who we are, than we even realize. And it's so just unfulfilling when you're trying to just live in a mold or as you were told you should. You know, it's a big, we talk about like mindset I'm big on, and this is a very gradual process. So don't be intimidated, listeners, but like changing those words of I should to I could. Right? Or I have to I get to. That is just a big, big shift when you try to stop being who you think you should be and doing what you have to do. Right. You can be doing the exact same things, but it just puts you back into a place of empowerment. And like with this, you know, I loved using Instagram. I'm going to get on the TikTok train soon. Like, I just haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do
it. You're going to get viral on TikTok. I could see it.
We'll see. We'll see. I think they say that Instagram is like, you know, your PG version, like TikTok is like your naughty cousin. So we'll see how it'll go on that one. The people are just like, let it all hang out. But when I realized that, like, there's another quote too, I always get quotes wrong, but it's don't compare your page 4 to someone else's page 44, that, or don't compare your behind the scenes footage to someone else's highlight reel, you know, that you just really understand what social media was. So when I was having that, like when I was, you know, traveling and doing all this amazing stuff, you know, that was my highlight reel. Was I happy in those moments when I was taking a picture or posting? Hell yeah, I was. Like, it was awesome. I was sitting in Positano in my bikini, drinking my, you know, Aperol spritz. Like, it was great. So I would post a picture of that moment. But when I was, you know, 6 drinks deep and like, you know, feeling kind of, you know, sorry for myself, I wasn't posting that moment. So people were only seeing the beauty. And that doesn't mean that, like, still today, you know, I'll maybe post something a little more down to earth on Instagram, but it's not that. You don't have to just sit there and air all your dirt, but just being aware of that, right? That like, we tend to want to share when we're happy. That's just human nature, right? You just want to like, let it all out. We tend to want to hide when we're not. And I think when we really start understanding that and understanding how social media works, how it's used, seeing it for information and inspiration, as opposed to comparison and standards, you know, that's when it kind of like shifts.
Well, and I think if you can look at it as, boy, this was a light bulb moment for me. This was a learning experience for me. I should share it because I was talking to someone the other day and I just had like my, you know, 50-year-old, whatever procedure, colonoscopy, all that. And I really didn't tell anybody about it. And then I thought, you know, I missed an opportunity to take people through what that is and to tell people you're in your 50s, go get a colonoscopy. And I feel like I actually missed out on blessing other people because I was you know, a little self-conscious about talking about it.
And so, well, you're still going through it yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all good. But so I know that there are people out there in our audience that, you know, may be struggling right now in life, and it could be anything, their circumstances or their, you know, it could be their job. It could just be how they feel about themselves. Do you have any words of advice or encouragement?
You know, I think one is to realize, like I said, you're not operating in a vacuum, and to not feel that you're just not where everyone else is at, because that's just human nature. They usually don't sit there and share where they're at. Social media too is such a beautiful, we have resources to connect with other people that are getting there, and to really see yourself as, this is a journey. Life is an evolvement, and you're going to change and grow. You know, I have had some of my darkest days. I've battled with like horrible, horrendous anxiety and insomnia and horrible eating disorders. Like, you know, I've had all these like really not so pretty things that I've gone through too. And it was when I started connecting with other people that I started to really come out of it and realize, oh, this isn't a place of shame. This isn't a place of embarrassment. This is a human experience. So that would be my biggest words of encouragement, is that I think, you know, and I hate that like a lot of people don't know who Clubhouse is. I'm assuming a lot of your listeners know about Clubhouse.
Yeah.
What it is.
I know. But everybody needs to get on Clubhouse.
It's just such an awesome way to connect with people. It's a comfortable way too, because it's kind of like, you can connect, but like not connect unless you want to, right? Like they can kind of like remain in your Clubhouse space and not be entered into your real life space. It just depends on how you want to use it.
But it's so much value too. I've learned
totally
so much, but just by listening to different people and being able to choose the like-minded rooms to go into and things like that. So I have a couple more questions, but I wanted to ask you this, because I like asking people this. How do you look at failure? And I have a little, is it called an acrostic or whatever? Fail, a faithful attempt at learning. And I love that.
I like that.
Or I actually like fierce attempt at learning. Either one.
I like that. So, like, this is a good acronym. Acronym.
An acronym. Yes, really, thank you. Thanks. I couldn't come up with the word. So what are your thoughts on failure? Or okay. Did you used to be afraid to fail?
Ooh, girl. Still something I struggle with. Like I said, I'm pretty candid. I don't like to define myself. We should never define ourselves, but just for lack of vocabulary, I tend to be one of those people that like, I only wanted to do things I was going to be successful at. You know, it's almost easier. And we all do this. I'd rather not do it than do it and not do it well. And I think once I really realized that, like what a perfectionist is, I remember one time someone told me, I can't remember who it was. Someone told me that I was being a perfectionist. And I literally was like, no, I'm not, because I'm not perfect. Like if I was a perfectionist, I would be perfect. And that was the reeling. I was like, holy shit, I am. Like, that's not even attainable. So failure, you know, like I said, I'm being honest, that's something that is really still scary for me and something that I still work through. But what I truly believe is that if you are still on a forward trajectory, so you may take 5 steps forward and take 3 steps back. And I still do that. We all still do that in my health and wellness journey, in my life and relationships. We all do. But you're still 5 forward, 3 back. You're still 2 steps ahead of where you were to start with. Right. So you're still making progress. So seeing that is taking a couple steps back. A failure is taking a few steps back, not as starting all over from square one.
Right.
That this is what we're going to be doing on this journey, forward, back, but we're still going forward.
And there's something so important to learn from those step backs.
Yep.
They're needed, because then you can propel even further faster than if you were trying to do everything perfect.
Totally. I'll tell you, I'm going to give a really candid experience. So Labor Day weekend, this last weekend, I gone to a barbecue on Sunday, and I was just sitting there like, you know, social butterfly, drinking wine, hanging out. Me and my husband came back home. I had picked up some desserts that we were going to make the next day. We're a little buzzed. We go ahead and start eating. And then I sit there for a second and I could see where I was when I was having a hard time at the beginning of Corona, you know, the COVID, and from like a bird's eye view. And I was like, whoa, look how much progress I have made in this space that I can sit here and have had too much to drink and be eating food that is not, you know, helping my body right now, but I can see it and do it and observe it and wake up tomorrow and be like, oops, okay.
Yeah. And not beat yourself up.
Totally. Whereas before it'd be like, damn it again. And this, you know, you get into the cycle. Okay. So that was maybe taking a couple steps back, right? Like a moment, but it wasn't a big deal. And it's realizing how much progress and how much I had learned through that experience and how much I had further elevated myself through that experience.
Yeah, that's exactly. And that's what it's all about is, and if we were all perfect, how boring would everything be? So
yeah. Oh, I mean, that's why you got to work with, you know, when you choose to work with people who are like-minded and have been where you have been and who are at where you want to get to, you know, because there's no perfection in this world.
Well, tell me what's next on the horizon. I mean, you're always encouraging people and I know that you're a big dreamer. You've got lots of plans. Do you have like a big goal that you're reaching for?
Right. That all of my programs I talk about are one-on-one coaching programs. And I love doing that because I get to, like I said, really, really tailor it down. But I'm really, and that's one of the reasons, like I'm starting to do reels more and get out there more, is because I'm trying to expand my reach so I can start offering group programs. Mm-hmm. Clubhouse has really been that format. I host a room every Thursday morning. I did one about 2 hours before we jumped on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And, it's being in that group dynamic. And it's a different, right? It's a different kind of approach because we're not doing it as individualized, but there's a lot more like recipe development and having like meal planning and having accountability in a group that you don't have. It's a different kind of program that you have in a group setting. But I'm really, Clubhouse has encouraged me to do that. So that's what's on the horizon for me.
Well, and that's beautiful because then also if you create that community, like Facebook community, then it isn't just cookie cutter. It's a community of people, you going in there and helping people individually and then everyone else helping everybody individually. So it is a beautiful system once you build it.
And the same person, like, you know, we talked about how you need different things at the different points in your life. This isn't like salesy, but just for an example, like the same person could benefit from each program at a different point in their life. It doesn't even, you know what I mean? Like one person could cycle through, like right now, I just need some recommendations. Right now, I need you to hold my hand and walk me through this. Right now, I want to be in a group environment where we can all learn from each other and, you know, kind of like put this stuff into practice. So they're really all designed to meet different people where they're at. And that's why, like when you talk about how you do a consultation or you almost like interview the clients before, a lot of people that I talk to just on like the, I would say the back channel, but like on Instagram Messenger, I'm sorry to say back channel all the time. That's a Clubhouse lingo. People that I talk to on Instagram, that know they want to make other steps. Cause I try to really figure out like, where they're at, what are their goals? What are they ready to do? Because there's going to be a program that's going to best support them. Cause clearly I want people to succeed, right? Like I don't want this for money. It's a value exchange, but, I want people to succeed. So I don't want to offer a program that someone isn't really ready for. I don't want to offer a program that is, I don't want to say below, because that's not even a good term, but someone who's ready to really like get in there and want, that really needs change, that really needs help. They don't need just a template or a guideline right now.
And it's where they are mentally. It's where their commitment level is. And there's that dance back and forth between know, like, and trust. There are going to be people that hear you and go, oh my gosh, I have to work with her. She's amazing. I love her energy. I need more of Carly. And then there are going to be some people are like, well, I just want to check out what she's all about, you know, and do this and that. And so, yeah, having something, I think that's brilliant. Having something for every person, no matter where they are. So, and I wanted to tell everybody, I was going to say, how do we best contact you? But I imagine it's Instagram and Facebook.
I have a Facebook page, Carly Knapp. It's K-N-A-P-P, Knapp. And you know, I post everything from Instagram there. And I have a website that like outlines my programs and a couple of my courses, carlyknapp.com. But I think, you know, right now we have such a benefit of actually getting to know each other and seeing what people are about. And Instagram is where I really spend my time. You know, sharing gems, sharing knowledge, sharing practical advice as far as how to be healthier. You know, what my real business model is I say I'm taking elder millennials better health and happiness without spending hours in the gym or living off of raw salads. Like, yes, I am. I do promote health and I do promote healthy eating and I do promote fitness, but I am not the person to work with if you are an aspiring gym rat. I am not the person to work with if you want to have a detailed journal of every carb, protein, and gram of fat that you're eating. There are other people to work with that do work that way. And I don't believe it's a bad way to work. I'm not, you know, against it, but that's really the way that I eat. And that's what you see on my Instagram is the way that I believe. And I've learned for myself and other people that are like me, because that's who my clients are. We have, you know, commonalities are people that aspire to be healthier, do things that uplift themselves. And we actually find we make bigger changes when we aren't micromanaging our health, exactly. If that makes sense. That's how I roll.
And you're having fun. Like if you can't enjoy it, I mean, what's the point? I'm just so glad you're here. And I'd love to end each podcast with the same question for each guest. So this podcast is called the Honor It All Podcast. So what are you choosing to honor today?
So what I'm choosing to honor right now is my family life, really. Like I did my clubhouse this morning on like how to ebb and flow with the seasons and how things are changing with fall. And like, we're coming to a place like, you know, fun in the sun, and then autumn's a little bit more about like bringing it home and getting more grounded and back to our roots. And like I said, I have a 20-month-year-old. I have my husband, we're about to celebrate 5 years. And so, you know, sometimes I get so caught up in that to do and growing and creating, but really learning how to just like sit there and honor those moments of being together and maybe it not being as glamorous and pretty and all the trips, but just really being a family unit. So that's what I'm sitting in today.
Wow. Well, that's beautiful. Great choice. Well, I'm so excited. I'm sorry to have to end this episode because I could sit here and talk to Carly forever, but this has been a great episode with the inspiring Carly Knapp. Thank you, Carly. I really appreciate you being here.
I appreciate you, Honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you're so welcome. And I can't wait to have you back next time. And remember, we are not promised tomorrow. So be present today. It is the gift. And take time to honor it all.